Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike Hoggard coming to you from Studio 2014 with another Watchman video broadcast. We're talking about the falling. We're going to go to our key verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Last week, we were dealing with the issue, the biblical doctrine of what it means when things fall, when people fall, when, we'll show you this today, when angels fall. What does that concept mean in the scriptures? We're going to find that out. Let's go to our base verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. This is a prophecy concerning what is going to happen. Maybe in our lifetime, I seem to think that it is. I seem to think that that day is coming very rapidly. I don't know when. I don't like to set dates. I don't get into date setting and, oh, it's going to happen on this day and so on and so on. But I just like to look at the scriptures and see the signs that are going on around us and be ready because the signs are here. And I'm going to show you some of those. I'm going to show you some of those signs, some of those pictures, some of them moving. Well, look, I'll show you what I mean by that here in a minute. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, again, I've covered this last week, but I want to go back over it again. Why should we care? Why should we have any concern over this whatsoever if, as some people say, and I believe in the translation, I believe what they call the rapture, I believe in it, the Bible speaks of it, I'm there. But there are some with this idea that says that, well, we're going to be raptured before any of this happens, so we really don't have to worry about that. Would you like some coffee? I don't believe the scriptures don't bear that out. If you look at this and believe exactly what it says, not what, let's see here. Dr. So-and-so had a good comment on that. He figured out a way around this and still believe that we're going to be taken up before anything happens. Just put all this stuff away and just look at the verses without changing them like Jimmy and Donnie Swagger did. We looked at that last week. They didn't like the fact that it says, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. So they said, yeah, let's take the original Greek and let's twist it around. Let's rest the scriptures, W-R-E-S-T, and let's make it say what we want it to say. That way we're right, and we want everybody to believe that we're right because we're selling them books and stuff like that and videos. But it literally says, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Study that one. We did a video called The Gathering. Look at all of the things in the Bible that are gathered together. Christ gathers His sheep. He gathers the wheat. He is the shepherd separating the sheep from the goats. He is a gatherer. And He is going to gather us up one of these days. And this is exactly what He's talking about. Our gathering, brethren, that's what Paul says here, us brothers in Christ, He's going to gather us together, but He said that day shall not come except something is going to happen before that day comes, and that is a falling away. Now, at this point, you have a choice. You can choose to believe the exact words that are in your Bible, and they mean exactly what they say. God doesn't have a speech impediment. Paul said we use plainness of speech and not as Moses. Here it's as plain as day, what he's saying here. But lots of people who don't believe that, they play all these little monkey tricks with the Bible to try to get around what it really is saying. And I just look at it and say, I just think that there's going to come a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So here we have a couple of things that are grouped together. We have a falling away and that man of sin is going to be revealed. I think one brings about the other. I think the falling comes and then that man of sin is revealed. I just had a thought, and I'm not real sure that I have it in my notes here, so I'm going to go to it, and I want you to think about where I'm headed. Because the first thing we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about things that fall. What we're going to deal with first is everything that Marilyn Ferguson was trying to sell back in 1980 and up until this day. The New Age movement, I say it because it rhymes with sewage, the New Age movement is all about the falling. That's what it all is. There is this concept among the New Agers that there is going to come in the Aquarian age, there is going to come the mighty ones, the ascended masters. We're going to look at all this. The aliens from space are going to descend down from the skies. And they're going to bring us into a new age of peace and enlightenment. And marijuana is going to be legal everywhere in the world. And there's all going to be this harmony because the ascended ones, those Christs, many Christs, are going to come down to earth. And they're going to bring us to that next stage of man's evolution. I'm going to show you what that really is. Okay, I'm going to show you that. Let's look at Revelation chapter 9 in verse 1. We have the fifth angel. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall. So I think that this falling away has to do with everything in the Bible that falls. Now, remember, if you study things in the Bible that fall, look at fall, falling, fell, and so on. You will see many times in the Bible where they fell down on their face and they worshiped God or they worshiped Jesus Christ, and so on. And that is absolutely right because one of these days every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So that I'm all happy with. But you don't see a lot of that in a lot of churches anymore, do you? You don't see, here's what you don't see in churches. In the front of our church, Bethel Church, Festus, Missouri, we have these two benches. Some call them mourner benches. They were traditionally called the altars, although I think the cross is the altar. That's where the sacrifice is. But it's a place where people will come, and the altar is not like chest high so we can just walk up to it and lean on it. It's down low to the ground. For what reason? Because when you really mean business with God and you're ready to pray, you'll get down there. You will kneel and you will bow before Jesus Christ. You may be offering your life and your service and your body as a living sacrifice unto God. I get that. You may be just coming to confess sins that have been holding you back, or you may be coming to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but it all requires humbling yourself. And that's why our little benches are down there close to the ground, because that's the best place in the world for you and I to be. You see, if we will humble ourselves, God will then lift us up and teach us to walk and stand uprightly. That's the concept there. When someone is baptized, they are taken down into the water. It's a figure of death. But then they are brought back up into new life. And so I'm not talking about those who bow or kneel or fall before the Lord Jesus Christ in true worship. We're talking about things that once they fall, they don't get back up again. The Bible says a just man falleth seven times. But you know what he does? Seven times, he gets back up. God is able to raise him up and lift him up. If I fall, I shall arise, the prophet said. And so that being said, We're looking at a different kind of falling, a falling that when it happens, nobody gets back up at the end of it. So here, Revelation chapter 9, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven. Think of what stars represent in the Bible. They represent angels. A star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. So there is a pit in the earth. It is bottomless. You know what that means? That those that are in that pit perpetually fall. They never stop falling. They just keep falling and falling and falling and falling and falling. I don't know how that works, but I'm sure God's got it all figured out, all right? So when he opens the bottomless pit, so there's a falling first. Here's the star falling from heaven. And now something that's hidden in a chamber is going to be revealed. We see the locusts that have the appearance of scorpions come out on the earth. But we find one of them in particular in verse 11. This is chapter 9:11. Okay, I did a video on this called The Beast of 9:11. You'll like it. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Think of something that falls, a bottomless pit. Think of the stomach of a teenage boy. They're all bottomless pits. Whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And all of that means the destroyer, the one who's going to come and destroy. So here we have in Revelation 9 at the sounding of the trumpets, we have a falling that takes place. The door's unlocked. What's behind door number 3? They open the door up, and lo and behold, there he is. Now he's revealed. He's revealed as the king of the bottomless pit, the angel of the bottomless pit. And he is Abaddon. He is Apollyon. He is the destroyer. So that's where we're going today. And I, like I say, that just sort of jumped in my mind, this idea of a star falling from heaven, because we're going to see this idea and this concept in other places in the Bible. And we're going to understand that the new age that is coming to this world is not all these gods that are just floating and flying in their spaceships or whatever down to the earth. Oh no. They're not just descending. They're falling. They got kicked out of where they were. So now they're going to come. They tried to mess up heaven. Now they're going to come down here and try to mess up earth. This is what we're going to be looking at today. Isaiah chapter 14, this is the first thing that really comes to mind when you're looking at things that are falling in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 14, this is a place that we've gone to hundreds and hundreds of times in the scriptures. This is what I see is like the great big gigantic conspiracy of the entire universe. Yes, I believe in conspiracy facts. I have a few theories, but I like to teach facts, and this is one of them. This is a conspiracy fact. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou, look at there, fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, look at here, he wants to do the opposite of what he's designed to do. He is fallen from heaven, but he doesn't want to stay there. He wants to go back up and move in. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. A mountain is up high. It's the opposite of a valley. In the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So notice what the Bible is saying here. Here we have the epitome of everything that can and will fall in the Bible. And there's lots of things that fall in the Bible. We're going to study many of these, not all of them, but many of them. I always like to leave a few things left on the plate to encourage you to go to your Bible to study, number one, the things that I said to see whether they be true or not. But number two, for you to find other things in the Bible that I haven't covered, and you'll see that they all connect by this idea of falling. The falling is going to take place. So think of Lucifer falling from heaven. Now, some people ask me, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself here. Some people ask me, now, Pastor, do you think the devil, do you think he has already fallen or he is going to fall? And I say, yes. Think about it. In the Old Testament, we have, and I'm going to cover these verses. In the Old Testament, we have Lucifer. How art thou fallen? Art means are right now. Art fallen. He is in the state of falling in the day that Isaiah wrote this. And remember what Jesus said? Again, I've got this up, going to come up here in a little bit. I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. So in Jesus' day, he was falling. And then in Revelation chapter 12, when the woman is about ready to give birth to the man-child who's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron, we see the dragon, and what is happening to him? He's falling, and then he gets thrown into the pit. What does he do for 1,000 years? He's still falling. He keeps falling. So you can think of Lucifer as the one who perpetually falls. We're even going to go back to the book of Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to see how God had him fall even back then. Lucifer is consistently and constantly the fallen one. So he epitomizes everything that we see in the Bible that fall, whether it be Babylon, whether it be other cities in the Bible that fall, think of Jericho, think of Nineveh, whether it be people that fall. They are all underneath this gigantic umbrella of Lucifer, the fallen angel. Are there other angels that fall? Absolutely. But he's their chief. If anybody knows how to fall, it's Lucifer, because that's all he does. So he is falling, but he wants to ascend. He wants to go back up. He wants to ascend above the heights of the clouds. He wants to exalt his throne above the stars of God. He wants to sit on the mount of the congregation. Mountains are high in the sides of the north, which I believe the mount of the congregation is rule and authority over the church. And then he wants to ascend above the heights of the clouds. But God said, and think about the words here, I will be like who? He didn't say God, he didn't say Jesus Christ, even though that's there. But he specifically used the term most high, which essentially means that God is the highest of all things, and nothing or no one is higher than God. But Satan wants to be equal to that. He wants to be like God. But yet all he does is fall. Carry that same concept now, because Lucifer is the epitome of all those who fall. Think of people on the earth and what the devil conned them into in Genesis chapter 3. Think of people on the earth who have it as their objective to rise to the height of God and be equal with God. That is what this is all about. Transhumanism. Humanity Plus, Novus Homo Evolutus, the new human, the evolutioned or the evolved human. All of that is basically the technology or the biology part of turning humans into gods. But let's look at it like this. Humans that are in a state of sin and have not the risen Savior living on the inside of them, they're not born again. The Bible refers to them as being dead in trespasses and sins. And what happens if a guy's just standing there and he's on the street corner and he's looking for a taxi, and all of a sudden an aneurysm bursts in his body or his brain, and instantly, what does he do? He draws his last breath, his mind closes out its consciousness, and what happens to him? He doesn't just keep standing there like Weekend at Bernie, does he? No, he falls. That's how we know soldiers on the battlefield were dead. What happened to them? We saw them fall. And so falling is the sign of death. And so here we have Lucifer, who is the he's the authority over death. We see him falling, and we see humans who always want to be like God, and yet they're dead in trespasses and sins. They're already in a fallen state. They just haven't laid down yet, but that is exactly what's going to happen to you. So do you think when the Antichrist finally comes and he's revealed, and the false prophet causes everybody, not force, causes them to receive his mark in their right hand or forehead, do you think that that enables them to stand or fall? Because the moment they take that mark, they are twice dead. They will be in a perpetual state of falling. And I hope you kind of see how this is going. We look to Lucifer to be the example of what it looks like. Then we're going to see this is what exactly is happening in humanity. And I can tell you that it is a concept that is being sold to the world as, this is cool. This is awesome. To be like Satan is like the neatest thing in the world. What am I talking about? Somebody sent me this. Take a look at this. A pair of tennis shoes. And it's got Baphomet's picture on it. And the brand of tennis shoes is called Fallen. And people, I don't know, maybe bikers or skateboarding kids, or you don't usually see a Fortune 500 CEO wearing a pair of Fallen sneakers to the board meeting. Even though they're probably fallen in a different way. But look at what's going on. The devil and the world is marketing fallenness, or the state of being fallen, as some cool, awesome, neato thing that, wow, look at these shoes, man. These are bad boys. They got like Lucifer on them. They were signed by Lucifer himself. They're marketing that as being something as cool. I mentioned in church yesterday the idea that when I was a kid growing up, nobody wanted the number 666. But already in the 70s, which is when I was growing up, in the 70s, there were rock stars who were putting that number on their album covers. They were promoting it then. So all the devil had to do was wait for that generation to grow up. That's my generation. And now we're the ones that are going around thinking that 666 is now cool. I was watching, I think it was Judge Judy the other day. This guy builds custom bicycles and motorcycles. And he had one of them destroyed by another guy. And the one that he was building, they showed a picture of it. It was all beat up and everything like that. But he had designed the number 666 into the character and the makeup of this particular motorbike. He's selling it like, this is an awesome thing. We worship Satan? Of course we worship Satan. What's wrong with that? And I'm telling you, the world is being sold the concept that falling away is a good thing. It's even being done in the church. And I want you to think of when people go into the church and they go down to the front and the Illuminati guy in the church smashes their head in, bashes their skull in, and what happens to them? They fall backward as if they were dead. In fact, they call it murdered in the spirit, slain in the spirit. That's what that means. So there is whole branches of churchianity that are falling into or falling for this concept that falling backwards like you've been killed is a good thing. So why not do it all the way? That's what's being sold to people. Think of what a snake is. Think of how it's designed. It's designed as a perpetual, it's always low. God, Even though Lucifer, the snake, the serpent, the dragon, even though he wants to ascend up and be as high as the Most High, God took away his ability to stand. How did he do that? Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So God took whatever legs that the serpent had before Genesis chapter 3, and he pinched them off and threw them away, and he said, I'm going to take away your ability to stand. You're going to crawl around on your belly. You're going to be as low as it gets, serpent. And that's, I'm going to curse you that way. See, the falling that takes place is not a blessing. It is a curse. And again, I want you to think of being slain in the spirit. When the Lord asks me to bow before Him, He doesn't have to slap me in the head to do it. I fall before my Lord. I get down on my knees. I have probably at one time or another laid flat down on the ground and said, God, I need help. All of that is done voluntarily because I realize and recognize the awesomeness of God and who it is that I am kneeling before. But the idea of being slain in the spirit, beaten on the head, it's the same concept in Eastern mysticism. It's called Shakti. And you get this illumination by this touch on your third eye, which is where they touch everybody. And they fall backwards, being slain in the spirit as dead men against their will. And the reason why you know it's against their conscious will is there has to be somebody back behind them catching them. These churches have catchers. That's what they call them. Some couple guys standing back there fixing to catch the big lady that falls backwards, and then there's another woman with a blanket to cover up to hide her modesty. She shouldn't have been that way to begin with. But anyway, the whole concept goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Lucifer began to be the fallen one, I think, probably at this time. God took his ability away to stand and to rise up, even though that's what he wants. But he's feeding into the concepts and the minds of people that they can be a god too, and falling is a really, really good thing. Here's another verse. Here's what Jesus said. We mentioned this earlier. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Look at the graphics here. The way that a serpent moves on the ground is identical to the way lightning, when it comes down from heaven and touches the earth, that's the way it looks. And there's our friend, well, not really our friend, there's our enemy, Harry Potter, with the falling serpent, Lucifer, falling from heaven as lightning mark on his forehead. Harry Potter, you know, the one that they teach in Sunday school class as being a good guy. Well, he's like Jesus. He's like fighting the forces of evil. That makes him like Jesus. I'm not making this up. They teach Harry Potter. They teach Gandalf the Grey, the wizard from the Lord of the Rings. They're grabbing and snatching at anything in the occult realm. Even Twilight, the vampire movies, they're teaching them in Sunday schools and vacation Bible schools and teaching them in Bible studies. What they're doing is they're setting up and marketing the idea that, that the real God that they want to follow is the God that fell from heaven. So I'm going to go here to the book. What translation is this? I won't be able to find it now that I'm looking for it. Here it is. This is the New Living Translation. So we go to Isaiah chapter 14 and we look at verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. In the other translations, like the NIV, they call him the day star or even the morning star. That's what they call him. They call the one who fell from heaven the day star. The day star is Jesus. So they are equating these two concepts in people's minds. They can't teach straight doctrine out of these Bibles, by the way. But it's marketing the idea that it's neat and cool and good to be just like the fallen angel Lucifer. And that's going to be the object of the worship, because he wants to be like the Most High. He wants to sit in the seat of God and make everybody think that he is God when they worship him. So here is the fallen angel, Lucifer, the dragon. Jesus says, I see him falling from heaven as lightning. The lightning strike and the serpent having the same form, the same movement. And of course, Harry Potter selling it to an entire... When I was a kid, it was Ozzy Osbourne and AC/DC and Rush and all of these other rock groups selling this evil to headbangers. But now, we have a generation of children, at least going back 10 years, that has been fed this concept that wizardry, sorcery, and witchcraft is a good thing. These kids now are growing up, and are some of them already in their maturity, in their 20s. And they're starting to work in the workplace. They're starting to go to seminary. They're training to stand behind pulpits, still with the same ideas and concepts in them of following after the fallen angel, Lucifer. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 34. We're going to see some more. We have Lucifer, the chief angel, who falls. And then we have a group of angels that fall with him. The phrase fallen angel is not found inside the King James Bible. But there are angels that fall. Lucifer's the chief of them, and we're going to see others. Isaiah chapter 34. This is a prophecy concerning the time when the falling takes place. And that's really the concept that we're keying in on, is that if we're looking for our gathering together unto Christ and the day that the Lord appears in the air, what I believe that you and I are going to see before that happens is this falling taking place. So we're going to look in the heavenly realms first. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 2. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And now look at verse 4. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their host shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. Wow. Think about it. He mentions the fig tree here. And we're going to see that in another place here in a little bit, Revelation chapter 6. But here's what he's describing. He's saying that the heavens are going to be rolled together as a scroll. And there's something interesting I'm throwing in here, and I don't have a piece of paper to show it to you. Do you know what the CERN scientists and all the quantum physicists are thinking about right now and actually trying to work on, actually trying to do? They have this concept that instead of the universe being like this flat sheet of paper, that it's actually, or a flat cloth, it's actually more like a cloth that is folded over almost together. And if you've ever heard of a wormhole, the idea is that in any place in this fabric of time and space, any place in this fabric of time and space, that enough pressure could be applied to either part of this garment or this mantle. I'm kind of giving you some little clues here. Go study these. This fabric that's nearly folded together, neither touching, that if they do the right things, that they can cause this part, let's say where we live right now in this time and in this space, to connect to this part here, a different time and different space in the universe, and make the present or the future join with the past in a wormhole. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to understand how to connect to things that happened in the past. We did a Watchmen video on that. Go watch it. And isn't it interesting that God said what's going to happen is the heavens, the universe, it's going to be rolled together as a scroll. I'm going to roll it up like you would take a mantle and fold it together so that the ends touch. I think that's what's going on here, all right? But anyway, just kind of lay that aside, and we'll look at the issue of what's going to happen. When God does this, when the heavens are rolled together as a scroll, then all the host of heaven is going to do what? They're going to fall down. I think that this is 2 Thessalonians 2. That's part of it. 2 Thessalonians 2. It's going to fall down as the leaf falleth from the vine and as a falling fig from the fig tree. That same concept is given to us, Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6:12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. That's not the only place in the Bible where you see that talked about. In verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a what? Mighty wind. What did the disciples hear on the day of Pentecost? Mighty wind. So, and if you've ever been in an area after either a tornado whirlwind or a hurricane whirlwind has gone through, what do the trees look like? Every single leaf and every little bit of fruit has been stripped off of those trees. And what happened to them? They fell. I think that which was is that which shall be. Go study this earthquake. Go study the rushing mighty wind. Study things in the Bible that are related to that. Because what you see is the earthquake happens. There is a mighty wind, and this particular fig tree, some people say the fig tree is Israel. I don't see that here. That may be what Jesus was referring to in Matthew 24, but what I'm seeing here in two places in the Bible, that the fig tree and the fruit on the fig tree represents the heavenly realm. Remember, figs and fruit are up in the sky. We don't dig them up from the ground. They're up here in the heavenlies. And so what you have is you have these stars, these angelic beings, that something is going to happen. The tree's going to shake. The wind's going to blow. God's going to start bringing his judgment. And what's going to happen to at least to a third of these angels that are in the heavens? They're going to fall. They're going to fall to the earth. And that is exactly what Marilyn Ferguson and all the other, Elise Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, all of these other New Age writers were writing of this one thing in this one event, the day when the ascended masters float gently down to the earth. Although they're not floating, they're falling. And remember, we are being marketed this idea. So let's go back. I put some movies that you have probably seen, and I want you to understand the theme of these movies and the concept. They're all related to some things or a thing that fell down from heaven. You remember the movie Starman, Jeff Bridges? He is a space alien, an angelic being. He falls down from the heavens. His spaceship crashes. Think of Roswell. What happened at Roswell? I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't even born yet. But there are people who believe that a ship fell to the ground. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But you have this movie called Starman. Look at the movie poster. You see Starman and the image of a star falling from the heavens. Jeff Bridges, you know what he does? You know what he does in this movie? You know what Jeff Bridges, the alien, does in this movie? Not making this up. He comes out of the spaceship as this ball of light flying around. But he knows he can't live very long in that way. So he goes to Jeff Bridges' house. Jeff Bridges is a guy that has died. And he goes find some DNA left over from Jeff Bridges. And he mingles himself with the seed of Jeff Bridges. The alien does. And he assumes the body, the physical human body of Jeff Bridges. But he's more than just the human. He is a God in the flesh. Are you catching that? And he has these special little power orbs that he uses. I don't understand quite all what that's about. But at some point in this movie, because he is in the form of Jenny Hagen's dead husband, she falls in love with him. She mates with him. He tells her, "You're going to have a baby. He is going to be a great teacher in this world." Dun, dun, dun. Genesis chapter 6. You get it? You understand the concept now? You understand what's going on? It all started with a star falling from heaven. And although you don't see it in Starman, you get the prophecy that a child is going to be revealed to the earth who is half alien, half human. See how it works? We're being sold it. It's being marketed. Transformers. The Revenge of the Fallen. Transformers movie is all about, and here's what you do. You take movies like The Transformers, you take movies like Planet of the Apes, and basically you kind of take that and apply that to humanity. In The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, we're the apes. We're the apes who live in this lower realm, and these creatures who are above us, think of the humans in The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the creatures that are above us are going to help us take the step in our next step of evolution and be higher forms than we were before. That's what that's about. Think of Transformers. They are this higher species of aliens, and they have this thing called the All Spark, which is nothing more than the spark of the divinity in the Kabbalah. We've talked about that, the divine spark and so on. And that's what transforms common little household items into these living machines. It's all about evolution and transformation. Is what this is. But it all starts out with the fallen ones. Steven Spielberg. There's a series on TV called Falling Skies. I started watching it. I watched maybe one or two episodes. They were dragging it out. I couldn't really get into it. And I'm still not really that interested in it. But I get it. It's the idea that the aliens are going to fall down from the sky. Steven Spielberg is pretty good with this concept. Because it was Spielberg's character, E.T., the extraterrestrial. Do you remember that story? Remember what happens? And Spielberg will tell you, and he said it in several interviews, that his favorite character of all time was E.T. That was his special. That was the love of his life. Why? Because here we have the exalted heavenly being whose ship malfunctions and he falls down from the heavens. But he's going to go back up there, but he's going to give enlightenment to little, he said, "I'll be right here." Touches him on the third eye. Gives him divine illumination. That's what that's about. And it all starts with a falling. Steven Spielberg also did a miniseries that was on Sci-Fi. I'm surprised more people haven't run with this idea and this concept because you're watching it. And basically it starts out with what happened in Roswell, or what he says happened in Roswell. There was a ship that fell from the skies. There was an alien that escaped and took on human form, mated with a woman. She had this alien's baby, and it was all about this half-human, half-alien guy from like 1947, which was Roswell, on up to the present. And it was about all of these people who are being taken up. Are you getting that? All these people that are being taken up into the space alien ship and a government conspiracy and all of this. And there's amazing symbols in there. It's been years since I watched it, but it was all about a star falling from the heavens and how it was going to change planet Earth. Chicken Little. You remember Chicken Little, don't you? Now, as far as animated features go and things like that, this was actually kind of cute and kind of funny, okay? But what was it about? It was a retelling of the story of Chicken Little. Remember Chicken Little? An acorn fell out of the tree or something like that, and Chicken Little went running around telling everybody, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, we're all going to be dead, the sky is falling. And it didn't work out so well for Chicken Little. But in this retelling, it's not just the sky falling, it's an alien that falls out of the heavens. And something interesting, something you can start looking for now, if you haven't done so already. This dawned on me watching this movie, that the alien mothership was all about the hexagon. Take a look at this. What you see there, three hexagons in a row, you're seeing 666. Just think of the number of hexagons that you're seeing now in commercials, advertisements, TV shows, marketing, movies. It's everywhere. It is absolutely everywhere. But it all starts with this idea of falling. This is what got me going. The Truman Show. You remember that? Truman is a boy that's brought up from birth inside of this chamber. Remember, he's hidden in a chamber. And the Truman Show is all about this boy that grew up inside this chamber. The chamber basically is a TV set. But he thinks it represents the entire world. He thinks that he's living up or growing up in the normal world. What he doesn't know is that he's being filmed and watched by everybody in the world outside of the secret chamber that he's in. He is a TV show. And here's what begins Truman's journey of the awareness of where he is and how he can ascend out of the chamber that he's in. You take a look at it. He's looking up to the sky and he's holding something in his hand. You know what that is? It's a studio light that has the label Sirius. You know what that is? That's the dog star. Sirius is always related in the New Age, related in the occult as the Egyptians. The Egyptians had their concept that their gods came from the dog star, Sirius. And so you know what happened? You know what starts Truman's journey of awareness and coming out of the chamber? It all began with the falling of the star. That's what got him curious. People are being manipulated and controlled and subliminally educated to attach to this concept that when the falling takes place, that's going to be good for us. It's actually going to be a sign and a signal that we're ready to enter into the age of Aquarius. Then we have the movie City of Angels. I mean, this is basically Falling Angel 101. Here we have Seth, who is a watcher. He is an angel, and he falls in love with Meg Ryan. He falls in love with this cute little Meg Ryan human woman. And he wants to be with her. He wants to feel her, but he can't. So he finds out about a guy named John Messenger. Get it? Messenger, angel, guess what they are. John Messenger is a guy that used to be an angel. And you see him, I think Dennis Franz plays this guy, and they couldn't have got a better guy for it. He's sitting there, he's smoking cigarettes, he's drinking whiskey, he's eating sausages and pancakes, he's already had one massive coronary, and he's ready to go for another one, but he just wanted to be human. And so he tells Seth, the angel, if you want to be with this girl, go ahead, but here's what you got to do. You have to fall. Seth says, what? He said, yeah, you got to fall. So this scene from this movie, here's Seth. He gets up on the highest place that he can over Los Angeles, the city of angels. And you know what he does? He falls. Now, he can be like the sons of God who left their first estate in Genesis 6 and mingle himself with the daughters of men, Meg Ryan. Now he can do that because he has fallen. So people are being introduced to this concept that when and when you're watching City of Angels, you find yourself rooting for Seth, the angel, to go ahead and fall so he can be with this human woman. That's what the movie's designed to. You don't have scary music in the background making you think that when Seth falls, he's gonna be this evil, nasty devil thing that's gonna rape all the women. You don't think that way when you're watching the movie. You're going, come on, do it. You can do it. Come on, fall. That's the power that these images have over people and over what's in their mind. You don't think people are being controlled, manipulated by TV shows? Movies, books, advertisements, magazine advertisements, radio advertisements, TV advertisements, internet advertisements, it's everywhere. People are being brought to this place where they're going to fall, where they're going to watch the falling of the angels first. They're going to join right in with them. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And then we look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So again, we see from the scriptures that the devil and his angels don't just simply ride down in the spaceships to the earth and say, yep, we're here to help everybody. Remember the Fallen movies? That's us. We're ready to help. No. They're cast down to the earth. They're thrown out of heaven. Lucifer, the dragon, and now 1/3 of the angelic realm is cast out of heaven with him. This is what we find in Matthew chapter 24. Look at it. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Remember, we saw that earlier. And the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That's what we saw back here in Revelation chapter 6, and in Isaiah chapter 34, verses 2 and 4, we saw the stars falling from heaven, their hosts shall fall down like figs from a fig tree, the sun being darkened, the moon turned to blood, and this is precisely what Jesus was saying and was talking about in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Look at it from another angle from the book of Mark, chapter 13. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Acts chapter 2, verse 19. Again, speaking of the same idea and the same concept, the sun being darkened, the moon being turned to blood and not giving her light. These two events happen, and then what happens? The stars are going to fall. Acts chapter 2. This is Peter quoting Joel on the day of Pentecost. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. we find what he was quoting in Joel chapter 2. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? And so I think we're looking at concepts of the same idea, different ways of looking at it. The sun being darkened, the moon turned to blood, and withdrawing and being turned dark. The stars withdrawing their shining and falling. Let me give you a little piece of science information, just a little bit what I know. And this may or may not be right because it's based upon what these scientists think in their laboratories with their telescopes. But we're told that at the center of every star in the universe, whether it's our own sun or any of the other stars in the universe, that basically these stars, our own sun, is basically this gigantic nuclear reactor where the core of the sun is so unfathomably hot. We cannot even conceive of anything that hot. But what happens is, at the core of every one of these suns, these stars, iron is forming because of the reactions that are going on at the core, the incredible heat. Iron is forming. We know that at the core of our planet Earth, it's hot, molten iron, which is what gives our Earth gravity and gives us the North and the South Pole. Basically, it's just this big, giant wad of molten iron. Think about this, the Iron Kingdom. And what the scientists say happens is that over time, the star develops so much iron at its core that it becomes so heavy and the gravitational pull becomes so great that literally the star collapses in on itself. It falls on itself and becomes dark. It withdraws its shining because at the center of the star, the mass and the gravitational pull of the star, of the iron at the core, becomes so great that it refuses to even allow light to escape out of it. I just think that's, it may be wrong, may be right, I don't know. I just think it's neat and cool and interesting that scientists say that it happens that way, because we know from the scriptures these stars represent angels, and we know from the scriptures that with a third of them, two things are going to happen. Number one, they're going to withdraw their shining. They're not going to be seen anymore. Light is not going to be present with them. And number two, they're going to fall. And I think that that has everything to do with the Iron Kingdom. Remember this, as it was in the days of Noah. In Genesis chapter 7, do you know where the rain and the water came from? Two sources, from the heart of the earth, where the iron is, and it fell down from the skies. So what's going to happen in the last days? The door is going to open. These beasts are going to rise up out of the pit. The fountains of the great deep are going to be opened up. And the windows of heaven are going to be open. And these angels are going to be cast out to fall to the ground. There is a different kind of flood that's going to take place in the last days. And it has everything to do with these fallen angels. Think of this. The Aquarian conspiracy is about the day when the ascended masters fall down to the earth and take over. Do you know who Aquarius is? He or she, depending on how you look at it, is taking water and pouring it out on the earth. A flood. That's what aqua, water. That's what Aquarius represents. And so you think of what the Bible is trying to tell you, is that when these angels fall to the earth, a flood of a different kind is going to take over the world. David referred to it in the Psalms as the flood of iniquity, the flood of ungodliness and the flood of ungodly men. Study floods in the book of Psalms and you'll see that. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 8, and they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another, and their faces shall be as flames. And I want you to look at the fact that there is a woman that's going to have a baby here. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And so here we see that the day of the Lord is coming. And when it comes, the sun is not going to give her light. The moon is not going to give her light. In fact, she's going to be turned to blood. The stars and the host of heaven are going to withdraw their shining, and then they are going to fall. And he says it's associated with the travailing of a woman. And I want you to remember that, because we're going to look at that probably next week. But let me show you this. Here's why you should read the King James Bible. So that when you look at symbols, you go, oh, I know what that is. These are one third of the angels that fall from heaven, and this is the king over them, whose number is 33. Because you take a look at it, I have it on the screen here. You know how many stars you have here? There's 33 of them. You know what 33 is as a percentage? One third. So here in this image, you have one third of the angels that have fallen from the heavens. And they have a king over them who is the king of the bottomless pit, the angel of the bottomless pit. He is the fallen one who becomes king over them and over the entire world. And it all starts with them falling from heaven. Here are, we mentioned this earlier, the ascended masters. Those of you, and I appreciate your emails. Those of you who used to be in the newage, you listen to what I tell you and you go, you know what, Hoggard, you're dead on. This is exactly what we experienced. This is what we were taught. We were taught that these gods were the aliens. There's various versions of this. If you go and look at the whole UFO movement thing, depending on what side you're looking at, some say that the UFO aliens are going to come down and bring us enlightenment. Some say that they're going to come down and cause us harm. Or some say it's going to be a little bit of both, but we're going to be changed no matter what happens. All of that, and all of that teaching of the ascended masters and those who have the Christ consciousness, those who have ascended to godhood like what John Denver wanted. Oh, you didn't know that? John Denver joined up with Werner Erhard, Erhard Seminary Training. He was a New Age master. He was a guru. And John Denver joined up with him because John Denver believed, because Erhard told him this, that one of these days he was going to be a god and have the mind and the body of a god. He was going to ascend above himself and become like the Most High. You know what's interesting? Do you know how John Denver died? You know how it happened? He was drunk. Literally, he was drunk. And he was flying. He used to love to fly experimental aircraft. And he was flying an experimental airplane over the ocean. And it fell out of the sky and killed him when he hit the ocean. He said within his heart, I will ascend, I will be like the Most High. And what did God do with John Denver? Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. It's exactly what happened. God's not going to be mocked. All of these people who are saying they're going to become gods, God's not going to be mocked. They're not going to be equal with God. They're not going to be more powerful with God. God's just going to take and do with them exactly what happened with John Denver and others. They're going to try to ascend, and God's going to bring them right back down. They are the perpetual fallen masters, the fallen angels, the fallen people. Joshua chapter 8, verse 24. Here is another story, I think, that is related to all of these stars falling from heaven. I want you to consider the zodiac. In fact, here's a graphic here. I'll show you where I'm going before I read the verse. The zodiac is, we looked at this before. Zodiac, Zoa means life or beast or animals or living creatures. And so zodiac is like a circle of beasts. And that's what these fallen angels are. And those who are following astrology are looking to these false gods for wisdom and illumination. And you know what God, I believe God is going to do? God is going to bring these 12 constellations down. Here, I think, is a story, a typological story that teaches that. Joshua chapter 8, verse 24, "And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness wherein they chased them, when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword." Stop right here. Got to stop right here. Okay? I like this. I love getting happy when I can bring two places of the Bible together. Revelation chapter 19. Here is verse 11. "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." Those are both capitalized. I love that. "And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." It's right here. "And the armies which were in heaven," I think that's us, "followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations." What did these people fall on? The sword, the sharp sword. What is it that brought them down? They fell on the edge of the sword. In if we go back to 2 Thessalonians, where we started at the beginning of this, 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about the man of sin, the son of perdition, and the falling away and his revealing. And the Bible says in verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." What spirit comes out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus that destroys that wicked? The sharp sword, which is the Word of God. Whew, boy, I like this. Let's go back and look at this again now. "And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword." I love it. "And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were," look at here, 12,000, even all the men of Ai. I think that that is a picture of, number one, all of that zodiac nonsense, Aquarius and Taurus the bull, because they said, you know, when you go out in the sky, an ancient man will look up at the sky and they would see the stars and they would go, "That's a bull." And I've looked at it a million times and I'm going, "I don't see a bull. No, I still don't see a bull there. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't look like a bull to me." You know what that is? That's a bunch of bull. That's what it is. These zodiac signs are representative of these evil angels. And I believe that on this particular day, when the falling away takes place, that these angels are going to be cast out of heaven and they are going to fall. And so coincidentally, right along with that, those who follow them are going to fall with them. Remember here, think about what happens. When you are equally yoked with a believer, that believer, you and that believer will always help one another. Two's better than one, isn't it? This is why I encourage people. Find a church somewhere. And if you can't find a church, then join with us online. We'll be there with you online. And when you see us, and many of you have, many of you watching have seen me when you've seen me down. And you would write me, "Pastor, be encouraged. We're praying for you. We love you." Likewise, God would lay something on my heart and I would teach or preach it, having no idea who it was for. Somebody would write, or somebody here would say, "Pastor, that was for me. I've been down and you helped me up." That's how it's supposed to be. But when you're unequally yoked with unbelievers, when they fall, you're going to fall with them. So I think that when these angels are cast out, when the falling of the spiritual realm takes place, the falling in the human realm takes place likewise. Here's another story. Remember Sisera, who fought against the Israelites? He had 900 chariots of iron. Nine's a number for fruit-bearing. Chariot, the iron kingdom. Here we have Sisera. Guess what happened to Sisera? Judges chapter 4, verse 16, but Barack, Barack, the judge of Israel, a good guy. But Barack pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of his Sisera fell upon, look at there, they fell, all the host fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Look at the language here, the verse. The host implies an army, but it also speaks of the heavenly realm, the heavenly host. And that's what we've seen in all these verses. The host are going to fall on that day by the edge of the sword. Judges chapter 5, verse 27. This is what happens. You remember Jael, Heber's wife, when Sisera came into her tent, he said, "Hide me out. Don't tell anybody I'm here." She said, "Sure, I got you. You know what you need? You need some warm milk." So she fed him some warm milk. And you know what he did? "Oh, I got to take a nap. I got to lay down." So he lays down. You know what she did? She took a tent peg, took a hammer, stuck it on the side of his head. Whammo! I love that. I love that. We're going to go to Romans chapter 16. I just love this. Romans chapter 16. We look at this verse here. Judges 5:27. At her feet he bowed, he fell. He lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. You know, I love that. Because you know who I think her is? Romans chapter 16. The Bible says in verse 20, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Here is Sisera. He fell at her feet and was defeated. And the Bible keeps talking about he fell. Three times it mentions here in this one verse that he fell at her feet. He fell. May the God of heaven bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You see, what makes it easy for us as humans to defeat the devil is that God took his legs away and he can't get up equal with us. So all we have to do to defeat him, step on him. And we've defeated the one who has fallen. Just like we see Jael, Heber's wife. She was just a home girl. She was just at home taking care of the things of the home. She was just a woman is all she was. And yet, God, I just talked to someone today that just said, "I love being a woman. I love being a godly woman. I don't want to assume the role of a man." Then she was asking me, you know, if I can teach things related to that. And I pointed her to a video that we did called "The Biblical Role of a Godly Woman." But I told her, I said, you know, God actually has what I can see in the Bible, a wonderful, amazingly beautiful plan for women and for the typology of a woman in the Bible that is just absolutely amazing. And here it is right here. The lady that called me. Here it is right here. God used just a plain woman. You know who the woman is? She's always the type of the church. And God took the fierce enemy of the people of Israel and made him lay down at the feet of the woman. And there he died. I absolutely love that. So, you know, here's what I'm saying to you. And I've got a lot more of this concerning the angels and how it relates to mankind and so on. We're going to see a lot more of this. But here's what I like about all this. The devil wants you to fall. Absolutely wants you to fall. And you know what? There's been times I have. Okay? But the difference between a just man falling and the wicked falling. And again, I've said this before. When the just man falls, God helps him back up again. He gets back up. Because God enables him and God blesses him and gives him the ability to walk uprightly and to stand. Let me close it out with this particular passage in the Bible. And you're going to see what I'm talking about. When the wicked fall, they're not going to get back up. And God is, I believe, that there's going to come a day when God is going to separate out who's standing and who's falling. Just like we talked about this last week. Just like in the plain of Dura, there's going to be a marked difference between who is on the Lord's side and who isn't. In Psalm 91, the Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust, and His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." That's the Bible. "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." I take that. I take that. I receive that. I believe that. I don't have to act upon it. I just simply have to abide in the shadow of the Almighty and in His tabernacle, in His secret place. And God promises that 1,000 shall fall. 10,000 at my right hand shall fall. But it will not come nigh me. You know why I'm free and I like being free? I'm not in bondage to some person's rapture theory on when they think it has to happen. I'm not in bondage to that. I don't want to be in bondage. I want to be free. Because no matter when it happens, I'm not afraid. And I know that I won't be afraid on that day. I know and trust that God is going to take care of me when or if that day ever comes. I know what's going to happen. The whole world is going to fall. The falling away first. But it will not come nigh those of us who have put our trust in God's truth. This is Pastor Mike. Hope you've enjoyed this. Hope you learned something today. We're going to continue with this same theme next week. We're going to look at some more of the fallen and the falling that's taking place. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.